If you remember all the way back to the fourth Sunday of Advent, if you can remember that far, we had a reading about the prophet Isaiah who went before King Ahaz. At that point in time, Israel, the kingdom of Israel, was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was of Judah, is where Jerusalem was. If you remember, the Assyrians were on the march towards Egypt, and the northern kingdom stood right in their way. The southern kingdom had made a pact with Assyria, so they were going to leave them alone. If you remember, the prophet Isaiah challenged Ahaz to ask for a sign. Ask the Lord for a sign, and he will show you. Trust and believe in the Lord, is what he said. If you remember, Ahaz decided not to do that, but to trust in himself and tried to make his own pact with the Assyrians, and they marched right over the top of him on the way to Egypt. Today's reading, then, is post of what happened in that reading. The people have been conquered. They fell into submission. They've been enslaved. They've been acculturized and paganized. The Assyrians have moved in and began to intermingle amongst and marry amongst the Jewish men and women. And as a result, their descendants would become known as the Samaritans. As we know in the gospel, the Samaritans are looked down upon Jews because they're not pure of race. They married with Gentiles, so they weren't pure Jews anymore. So in the other people's eyes, they weren't worthy. It is to these people that the prophet Isaiah says, God still cares about you. Yes, you turned your back on God and you went your own way and you did your own thing and look what happened. But that doesn't mean that God gives up on you. And he promises that there will be a great light. And this darkness and this sadness and despair and hopelessness that they're living in will be overcome by this light. And then there will be joy again. Joy is with a harvest. Or someone despising dividing spoils, living on rich food. There will be joy again in your life. So it is against this background then that the gospel writer Matthew sets forth Jesus. Now I think there's a couple of interesting things about this. Where does he send him? He sends him to the same place, Zebulun and Naphtali, around Capernaum. He goes there for a reason. Number one, he wasn't born. If you remember, go think back to the word Christ was born and the way he was born. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born with power and prestige. He was born in humbleness, in humility. When Jesus begins his ministry, he doesn't begin it in a temple in Jerusalem. He goes to the commonplace. And who come to visit him when he was in the stable? Outcasts, shepherds, people. Those are the people that the angels went to announce the good news. And they were the ones that would come, the ones who were saw unworthy by others. So it is as Jesus going to this area begins his ministry, not in glory, but with the outcasts, the poor, the ones looked down upon. And it's to these people that he says the words of John the Baptist, repent. Matthew's making a connection. He's saying that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, that Jesus is the great light that brings darkness to those who have been oppressed and looked down upon. And he says, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think it's interesting that we get this gospel about right not too long after the first of the year, because if you're like me, we get around the first of the year and we all kind of take a look at ourselves and we decide that maybe we should have some New Year's resolutions. That maybe there should be some things about ourselves that we see that we don't necessarily like, and the New Year seems to be a good time just to try to do something about that. How are you doing with yours, by the way? I started with three and I still have one. Oh, well, at least I have one. But against that backdrop, I want to use the word repent. Repent really means to change life, change directions. Now, if you're capable of looking at yourself and realizing that at some point in time that there are some faults that I have and I need to do something about it, now let's take that word and look at the word repent. Because when we repent, we're admitting to ourselves that we do things to God. We do things that God is not pleased with. And it's when we look at ourselves in the light of Christ that we see the darkness of our failings and our sinfulness. And then we do something amazing. Not only do we ask God for forgiveness, We ask God to pick us up, to make us better, to help us change our lives, and to follow Him. And that's why I think the second part of this gospel is important. We have this self-looking at moment. We look at ourselves and we realize that we aren't who Christ wants us to be. We know we have to make a change. And change happened to these men, didn't it? In the second part of our gospel. I mean, stop and think about it. Here's this man they've never seen before, and he stops and he says, "Come and follow me." And they leave everything. And they follow him. And did you notice who it was again he chose? He didn't choose the wise. He didn't choose the learned. He chose the common and he chose the ordinary, because the kind of learning that he wanted them to do was by watching, by listening. He wanted them to see the example. As we're told in the gospel, he went to the synagogues and he taught. He taught the people. He taught his disciples. And he cured the people, illness and disease and their hardships. What does this gospel mean for us today? Today, Christ calls you. At the end of the Eucharistic prayer, the blessed elements are elevated. And the Father says, "Through him, with him, in him, in the glory of God the Father, all praise and honor be you through Jesus Christ." Christ is present. He's here with you now. And he calls to you where you are and where you're at. He comes to touch you in a way that not only heals you spiritually, but he meets you in times of distress, in times of illness. He meets you in your time of need. If we're humble enough to realize we need that help, how blessed are we? I mean, just look at the fifth station of the way of the cross. Simon of Cyrene helped Jesus bear the cross. Even Jesus knew he needed help. Christ reaches out to each and one of us through the gospel and through the word. And what he wants you to be is his disciple in the world. That you come here and you're fed by the bread of life. And you drink from the cup that saves us. And then he asks you to walk down that aisle and to go out into the world and to be his disciple. I've often quoted St. Francis, "My friends, if necessary, even use words. But by word and deed." He wants your abilities, but he wants you to be available. To be his hands and feet to those who are around and who are in need. So today I challenge you. You come forth to be the disciple of Christ. And when you come forth, you come up to this aisle, and the Eucharistic minister says, "The body of Christ." They place the blessed sacrament in your hand. Stop and look. Because, my friends, today, the kingdom of heaven is now in your hands.